Scott Swanson, Group Product Planner for Messenger, MSN Messenger Platform Planning.
And how many people are on? This is not a little dinky service off to the side of Microsoft somewhere, is it?
Of Messenger?
Yeah.
No, Messenger, I mean, the MSN organization is a large organization. We're five buildings down here. I don't know how many people that is exactly.
Yeah.
A lot, though.
And how many users do you guys have?
We have 170 million users and growing.
170 million?
Yep, so we have more users than any other.
That's a few more than read my blog.
Yeah, you'd love to have 170 million read your blog.
It would take down my server, man.
Yeah, but that's a good problem to have.
No. Then my mom wouldn't be able to read it.
Yeah, okay. You got to make sure your mom's happy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So what are you guys doing with Mester? You invited me over to see the latest, what you've been doing with Mester. What's been happening in the messenger world? I mean,
yeah. So the big thing.
Instant messaging is something that, you know.
Well, there's.
Is it something only teenagers use, or? I guess not with 170 million.
Yeah, people. Sorry. There's a lot of teenagers, but no. I mean, teenagers are a big part of the audience, actually. But a lot of, I mean, pretty much everybody uses instant messaging. And so the big thing that we're really working on. So Messenger itself has MSN Messenger has lots of cool new features that come out. We had a release in August. But what I actually focus on is opening Messenger for developers, and so that's something that MSN hasn't done historically.
Wait a second, MSN getting into developers?
Exactly. So they took an old Visual Studio guy and said, "Hey, come over here and help us talk to developers." And so,
yeah.
So that's what my team is doing. And so one of the things that we did was at the PDC back in September, we released what we call the Activity APIs. And so those APIs allow you to create applications that run inside of MSN Messenger and actually interact with the conversation. And we also give you a way to exchange data between two instances of the client.
Right.
So an example, let me actually show you an example of one of the kind of cool apps.
Let me mess with my tripod here.
Okay.
So I can get closer. Okay.
So this is an example. What I'm going to do is actually talk to a demo account that I have here.
What's the current version, by the way?
7.5. So that shipped in August. We've had, I think, one service release since then.
Okay.
Which you'll get a little toast that pops up and says that there's a service release to install.
Okay.
So this activity was created by one of the developers, Steve Gordon, down on the Messenger team. And what it does is it uses the Virtual Earth APIs.
Okay.
And so I'm going to click on that Virtual Earth Shared Map application. It'll send off an invitation to my other machine over here, which I will then accept.
Okay.
And then it says share my location. So I'm going to go ahead and type in 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington. I'll say go. And notice it says waiting for IM Explorer's application. So that's my demo account. So it actually, what happens here is there's synchronization between these two Messenger clients. So this one says waiting for Scott's location. So there, it knows like the usernames. That's what the APIs give you, the ability to communicate between the two locations. So let's say I'm going to type in, Marina Place. Oops. Marina Place in Seattle,
okay.
Washington. And I'll say go on that one. I'll click go back on my other client. And so now what it's done is it's loaded up Virtual Earth inside of here. And you can see that IM Explorer, which is my demo account, is located in downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
And then Scott, which is me, is located over here at 1 Microsoft Way. And so if I switch into aerial view, which everybody always loves to see, also you'll notice switching to aerial view there, switch to aerial view over here. So what's going on here is the two maps are actually now connected. So if I move the map on this side.
So if you switch it to roadmap right now on that side?
Yep. So watch if I switch to roadmap here. If I switch to roadmap here, it switched to roadmap back over there.
Oh, it did.
Yep. And now if I grab, keep the camera over there so nobody's touching that machine. But if I grab and pan the map over here, it'll pan the map across there.
Oh, wow.
So the cool thing about this app is these two people can now co-browse. And so, you know, you're talking to your buddy and say, hey, you know, let's go out for a drink. You know, where's a bar that we could find or something? So you input both of your locations, then you could go into the search box there and say, hey, I'm looking for bars, you know, and it'll pop up push pins on the map, and you can both see that and actually know like where to go. So you're having this kind of co-browsing map experience.
Now, how was this built? What kind of technology was this? A .NET app? Is this a JavaScript app?
It's DHTML and JavaScript. So Virtual Earth, the control that Virtual Earth lets people use is built in JavaScript.
Okay.
And then the page that this is hosted on is it's a DHTML, you know, regular DHTML page, and then there's additional JavaScript around it.
Okay.
That's hooking everything up.
And so, what are the APIs that you provide? What kinds of things do they let you do?
Mm-hmm. So the activity APIs are actually COM-based APIs. So the Messenger client is a native code COM client. And so the APIs, there are 7 methods that you can use, and there's, I don't know, I think 12 or 13 events. And you can, as you're doing that, you can actually go in and just hook up using JavaScript to go in and connect up your objects. And so the APIs let you do things like exchange data. There's a thing called the channel object, which lets you exchange data between the two machines. There are events that you get that actually tell you that somebody has sent data into the channel. You get an event on the other side where you can read the data out. And then you can turn around, you get error, there's an error object. There's also the ability to interact with the conversation stream. So, well, let me show you an example. Well, actually, you won't see anything here.
Okay.
If the app was set up appropriately, what you could actually do is, as you were typing in the conversation window, the application will get an event that says text has been entered in the conversation,
okay,
and the text is passed in. And so you can then, as your application, you can then actually parse the text. You can work on it if you want. You can actually send text back into the conversation stream. So it allows you, well, you know what? If you really want to, we can try something bleeding edge here.
All right.
So we haven't talked about it yet, but we actually have an application contest going on,
okay,
where people can build applications using our Activity API and submit them to us.
Okay.
And yesterday we actually had somebody submit an application, which is a translation app. I haven't actually tried it yet. It was set up last night, and it'll allow you to type in 2 different languages, and it'll translate the languages for you. So if you want to go completely bleeding edge here, we can try this.
Let's go for it.
Okay. So the way we launch this is we actually go to www.worldsbestapp.com. I'll just go to my worldsbestapp.com. This is the site where our contest is hosted.
Okay.
And so I'll go here to the app gallery. So what happens in this contest is when people submit their applications, we actually go through a short compliance check to make sure that it's an appropriate application, and then it gets linked in the application gallery. And so I'm going to pick non-games because I know that's where it is, and let's go for the T4IM Instant Message Translator.
Okay.
I'll click that, and you have to type in a little HIP challenge here. And that's because part of the contest judging is based on how many people launch your application.
Okay.
So launching that will now let me invite somebody. So I'm going to invite IM Explorer, which is my demo account. It'll say, do I want to close that? And yes, I do. So now I got an invitation on this side to accept that. It'll prompt me to close the Virtual Earth application. And now it's going to load the translator.
Cool.
So let's say, I don't know.
Can you do German to English?
Sure, let's do German to English. Do you know some German, Robert?
Yeah, ich spreche kein Deutsch. So
I have no idea how to type it. ICH?
Spreche, S-P-R-E-C...
Oops, hang on, I've lost focus there.
S-P-R-E-C-H-E, Kein, K-E-I-N,
uh-huh,
and Deutsch, D-E-U-T-S-C-H, I think.
Okay.
And try that.
And let's say, oh.
That means I can't speak German, by the way.
Let's try, let's see, select, and let's
German
to English, and let's say send. And so, let's see if anything happened here.
I do not speak Deutsch. Yeah,
that's pretty. There we go. So it actually did that. So that was an example of how the activity window can actually interact with the conversation stream. And you notice that you might want to put the camera actually back over here. The thing that's important here. So there's 2 people in the conversation. There's IM Explorer and there's Scott, which are the 2 people talking.
Yeah.
But you notice that it says translator in dictionaries says, I do not speak Deutsch. And so that translator in dictionaries is actually the name of the application that's running. So the application is effectively a third party in the conversation, able to interact with the conversation.
Wow.
So that's what was going on there. So that's an example of using the conversation
APIs. So you could have all sorts of bots that are intermediaries between.
Yep. So you could actually, you could create an application that acts like a bot running on your local machine that could then be in the conversation doing things to the conversation. Like it could be, you know, if you typed in certain words, it could be listening and it could actually respond because you typed in certain words. And
so could you
like
have
that.
A bot that's taking all the text and putting it on a blog?
Oh, wow, that's a cool idea. Yeah, you could.
Ooh.
You could. You could
lots
totally
of
do
fun
that.
Things.
Yeah, there could be some very interesting things.
Or have an eBay auction bot that you could just be in an auction with 8 people and just keep
yep.
keep you know, raising the price until somebody says, everybody says uncle.
Yeah, right.
You get it.
You could totally do that. So the other thing, well, so with bots in general, one of the things we try and do too.
Now I know why Skype paid, or eBay's paid $4 billion for Skype.
Yeah.
And you could do the same thing on Amazon Messenger.
You could I mean, you could do a lot of that kind of stuff. And a lot of times the bots are going to run actually from a server as well. So they'll actually be the bot. A lot of the scenarios are going to be things like the bot is running on a server. And so you're conversing with the bot, and then the activity window opens up to actually let you do something as a third party there. So, you know, we can try one more thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can edit this out if it doesn't work.
No, but we don't
we'll
edit.
We actually have
things that don't work, make it more real.
Make it more real? Okay, so let me go. Let me just clear my desktop out here. Let's go to, I have if this works, I haven't tried this ahead of time. We have a bot that we're working on, a combination bot activity called the Encarta Instant Answers bot.
Okay.
And what this actually is a bot that you talk to, and this bot is, so it started a conversation with me, and so, see, here it is, it recognizes me, hey, hello again, Scott, so I've been in here before, and so let me type in, who is George Bush? And so what this bot does is this bot is actually using the MSN and Encarta search APIs. It's going to do a search of Encarta, and there's a short answer, but now it's actually going to invite me to an activity. In which case it's going to go over and navigate now to the Encarta content and you can see this is a prototype, so the content isn't very well formed yet. It's going to be when we ship it. So there's the actual Encarta topic on George W. Bush. And so in this case, I'm talking to a robot on the other side. This isn't another person.
And then it
used the MSN search API to actually find the content in Encarta. So this is that's a common way that we think people will actually be tying bots and activities together. And the other interesting thing about this is you can't do this on any of the other instant messaging platforms. So we're the only platform that has an activity API like this where you can actually hook these things up.
So could I build a stock quote lookup or all sorts of different, like,
so you could,
what's the current price of AAPL or Apple Computer? And you could have an intermediary that goes and searches various things and brings you back the answer.
So a lot of things, we think there are a lot of interesting opportunity around here, particularly gaming. So imagine if there's a bot that you could play a game against, and the bot actually has strategy, or it can teach you how to play a game, and the game is in that activity window.
Okay.
So there's some really cool stuff you could do around that. And then in general, bots can do all kinds of other things, like you know, you can imagine like a dating bot, for example, where you want to be able to talk to somebody you find interesting, but you want to do that in an anonymous fashion, so you don't actually have to give out your IM. So you could that would be my wife.
She has a special tone, I guess.
My wife has a special talent for knowing when I'm doing things and then trying to instant message me.
But that's fair play, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what IM's all about.
Oh yeah.
So you can envision like what we call a double blind bot, which is the ability for the bot to broker a conversation between two people, so they can remain anonymous, but actually have a conversation.
Right,
and without having to give out their IDs, so that's another interesting case. You know, there's a lot of other things that you can envision, like a customer service bot, for example, where you talk to a bot because you're having a problem with your refrigerator, and the bot says, "Oh yeah, here's the answer, and let me navigate you to an online manual to show you what you need to do to, how do you clean your ice maker or something like that."
What are the basics that developers need to know to build these kinds of applications?
So the basic stuff, the bar to entry is very low. You start out at the lowest level is DHTML and JavaScript, and you can actually go up from there in terms of using ActiveX. You can use Flash, although, and we're actually working toward enabling things like Avalon Forms in the Vista timeframe, and we're looking at how we can actually do AJAX support now. In the short time frame. So we don't know yet when we're going to be able to do that, but we're trying to get those things taken care of so that we can do that.
And what do you need to do to build your first app?
So you go up to we have a dev center up on MSDN, and it's the URL is msdn.microsoft.com/msn/msnmessenger.
Okay.
You can download our SDK from there. And then also up there you'll see a pointer to our MSN forum. Hosted on MSDN as well, so you can ask questions and get help up there.
Okay.
So this is all pretty new. It's been out for about a month, so we're kind of just starting to get community traction behind it and that sort of thing.
Any usability tips that you've found so far? things that seem to work or things that you've tried that just don't work as well? Or
I guess the main thing is actually the other thing you'll find up there is actually a copy of the PowerPoint deck that I presented at the PDC. We had a session at the PDC on how to build these apps.
Okay.
And so I think the trickiest aspect is if you're building a script-based app is debugging script. So anybody who's done script development knows that debugging script is kind of tricky sometimes. And so we found some tips in building the sample apps that we put up on the site and that sort of thing. We captured a bunch of that. And so there's some kind of best practices, tips and tricks around doing that stuff.
Okay.
The main thing is you need to have a network internet connection so that you can log into Messenger in order to actually test your apps out.
It probably is best to have two computers so you can test them out.
Two computers.
Sort of like you're playing here.
Exactly. Two computers works best, although I have actually done it with virtual PC, where I log in virtual PC in one and have my Messenger client there, and then, you know, my regular desktop, I have a second Messenger client running. You can do that. You need a pretty beefy machine,
right?
Yeah, especially if you're running the debugger, running Visual Studio. But that'll work as well. So
any special licensing that I need to worry about?
So the main...
I build a killer eBay-style business on top of this. What are there licensing restrictions down the road that I need to worry
yeah.
about?
There are some terms of use, and so... Okay. The main things are the kind of the top terms of use are things like you can't build an app that's adult content based.
Okay.
You can't build an app with gambling.
Oh, why not?
Well, all right, Robert, just for you, you can build an app with adult content.
Yeah.
But so you can't do it. No adult content, no gambling, yeah. and no hateful type stuff. And then in terms of the services that you use inside your app, you can't create like another messaging system, so you couldn't use this as a way to tie in like, you know, another messaging system or try and create your own instant messaging system. You need to use MSN search APIs if you're doing search. You can't use any other competitive search APIs inside.
Oh, really?
And you actually, and the other thing is that...
Why are you guys doing that?
Well, so let me finish one other thing and then I'll tell you why we do that. The other thing is you can't serve ads inside of your application as well.
Okay.
And so the reason behind those policies is that MSN Messenger is a free service, but we have to pay for it. And the way we pay for it is through the advertising that we serve through the client and that sort of thing. And so, you know, if people go out and serve competitive advertising inside Messenger, they're effectively, you know, they're using our Messenger infrastructure for free, which is fine, but they're actually giving money to our competitors using our free infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we just can't do because we got to make money to pay for Messenger.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason behind that.
And it's pretty expensive infrastructure, I would imagine, with 170 million people using it.
Yes. I mean, there's multiple data centers and lots of people to keep the data centers running and lots of hardware. And yeah. So, I mean, it's running the Messenger, MSN Messenger infrastructure is a big business. And so we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's how we do it.
Anything else we should know about? This is our first interview with the MSN Messenger team.
It is, yeah. This is great. So the big thing is we have it. We have. I didn't really talk about the world's best app building contest. So we have a contest running.
Okay.
To build these activity applications. It runs from now until the end of December.
Yeah.
And we're actually giving away some really cool prizes. So the way you find out about it is you go to www.worldsbestapp.com.
Yep.
You log in there. All the information that you need to build your application is there. And let me just show you the prizes we're giving away. So we have quite a few prizes. There's two categories. There's gaming and non-games.
Okay.
And you can see there, so we have a grand prize, which is the Alienware Area 51 mobile desktop. So that's a killer laptop.
That will even run Windows Vista.
It's like it's basically like a $4,000
laptop. In fact, I know it does because our evangelists use that.
Oh, really?
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's,
so you get that laptop and you get like the cool silver case.
Glass in it. The new glass interface looks really cool.
Oh, I bet that's great. And a copy of Visual Studio. And then the first prizes for each category, we're giving away Alienware desktops, and it's the desktop along with an LCD display, and it's a GeForce 7800 video card, so that's a pretty killer machine too.
Very cool.
Then some Oakley Thump glasses, which are media player glasses, and then also we're giving away 25 copies of Visual Studio in each category. Visual Studio 2005, so that you get the latest and greatest to keep building activity apps. So yeah, so there's some cool prizes there. And then basically what you do is you download the SDK, you build your app, you submit it to us, we do some compliance checking on it, which to make sure the things I was just talking about before. As long as it passes compliance checking, then you get posted in the app gallery here. So I did that. Here's the non-games. So we've got a couple apps. We've got more on the way actually today.
Okay.
That'll be coming out. The contest is pretty new. And we've got a couple of games in the gaming category today. The other thing you can do that's really cool is actually if you want to find out when new games and apps are posted,
yep.
you can actually subscribe to MSN Alerts. And so you'll actually get, if you click here, you can actually sign up to receive alerts. Ah! Server was unable to compute your request. So, okay. So anyway, you can sign up for MSN alerts, and so that way you'll actually get an alert and get notified every time new games or apps are posted to the contest.
Okay.
And then you come up and you can launch them, and people are judged. Part of the judging criteria is how many people launch and run your app.
Now, you guys just announced a deal with Yahoo, if I remember right.
We did.
Do the apps work with Yahoo's Instant Messenger too, or do they only work with the MSN Messenger client?
So currently the applications only work with the MSN Messenger client.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and does everybody have the latest version, or do I have to worry about versioning on the client, or is everybody automatically upgraded to the latest version?
People get notified of upgrades. Like, we never force, well, not the only time we ever really force an upgrade on people is if there's, like, a major security issue or something.
Yeah.
But in general, upgrades otherwise are optional. This will work, the Activity API will work on Messenger 6.0 or higher.
Okay.
You know, the current version is 7.5, which shipped in August. So, I mean, we always recommend that people go to the most current version.
Yeah.
And since it's a free download, not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll work all the way back to 6.0.
Excellent.
Yep.
Anything else I need to know about the world of APIs on MSN Messenger?
Well, I'll say this, it's just the beginning. There's not much more than that I can say right now, but okay. It's just the beginning, and we will have more to come.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, thanks for spending some time with me today.
Cool. Thanks, Robert.